Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 281, episode 3 of the Daily Zeitgeist. This is still a production. No, I love that. Thank you for the Howard Dean scream. A production of iHeartRadio, and this is also a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's sordid shared consciousness. Today, it's Wednesday, March 29th, 2023. You said, what's March 29th? It's National Mom and Pop Business Owners Day and National PETA Day. And National Chiffon Cake Day. So if you imbibe or indulge in that. Oh, and also National Little Red Wagon Day. I never had one of those, so can't say I feel too good about that. Anyway, my name is Miles Gray, a.k.a. O'Brien, top of the morning. I'm gonna chase you out of work. I'm gonna put on an iron shirt and chase O'Brien out of work. I'm gonna set him on a spring break to make those plumpers shake. That's where Jack is. He's on spring break. Shout out to Lacaroni on the Discord for that Max Romeo Chase the Devil, a.k.a. Love that track. and yeah, just felt good to scream that out. And I am thrilled to be joined by my guest co-host, a fantastic comedian, writer, producer, just a boxer even. You do not want to catch these hands. I'm serious. This man is actually in the gym boxing. He doesn't really talk about it a lot, but I've seen the hand speed. And it will make your head spin. Please welcome to the microphone my guest host, Mr. Andrew T.
Where's Jack? Jack's in the no work groove. I'm not Jack, but I got to give you your news.
Ooh.
That's as far as I got.
I like how before you're like, hey, I got an AKA about Jack being gone. I just want to make sure it's not for anything bad. And I was like, no. He's loving spring break right now with his family. So
I was just like, you know what? I'm here. I just wanted to triple check.
No, I think it's good form, because it would have been wild if you did that. And I would have been like, afterwards, I'm like, yo, hey, Andrew, we're going to have to cut that AKA out, man. It's wildly insensitive. But
you know what? Yeah.
How you been, man?
I'm good. I'm alive, you know, just gearing up for the writers to go on strike. So
yeah,
that's fun. And my dog has a butt infection, so she's on a cone and antibiotics. So
that's is it receding, the booty infection, or is it?
I think it's gone, but I'm keeping the cone on until the vet gives the all clear.
I thought of you last week. My friend, who was a fantastic chef, made a picanha, but he smoked it first, and then he reverse seared it, and I was like, oh, and at first I was like, yeah, man, my boy Andrew be cooking these all the time, man. So you know.
I started cutting back a little bit. I made some sukiyaki last night for the first time.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I was going to say I'm cutting back on beef, but mostly just to add a lot of cabbage and mirin to the mix.
Yeah, fine. Well, it's all incremental, you know? I'm doing meat-free stuff every now and then, too, as we should. Yeah. But let's not delay things any further. We have a fantastic guest with us today. Because, you know, I mean, I feel like we have a steady stream of really, really great people that have come to grace this second-rate podcast with their genius. Our guest is an author, freelance writer, speaker, and the host of the podcast, The Only One in the Room, which if you heard it, sometimes we know that feeling for sure. And also the author of the new book, Stash, My Life in Hiding, please welcome to the proverbial stage, I guess I will say, Gloria Cathcart-Robin!
Yay! Thank you.
Welcome, Laura.
I'm cheering for myself. Thank you very much.
Good to have you.
Yeah.
Where are you coming to us from? I feel like from reading a little bit about you, you're in the Valley?
I am in Studio City, Los Angeles. Yes, I am.
My hometown. You know, I grew up right there. Yeah, North Hollywood, baby. You know what I mean?
That's
I was mobbing
right.
on to Hunger Village as a youth.
That's it. That's yep. where I am, right there.
Back when Artisan, or not, what was that? There used to be
Aroma?
This wine shop. No. The wine store that closed down and then became like a clothing store.
Yes, I don't remember what it was called.
They had good sandwiches. They had good sandwiches. I used to go there all the time.
Wait, it should be called The Drip. No, wait, it should be called, what's a wine store and a clothing store?
Coffee store and a clothing store.
There we go. Even better. See, thank you for punching up Andrew's joke.
We'll figure it out. We'll get there.
See, man, this is why the writer's going on strike, man.
You know what I mean? This is what you're losing, studios. Pay us what we're worth.
Laura, how you liking rainy LA? We had a little bit of a break. I just like to tell people when we're in LA because we had this streak of storms and the last 4 days we've had sun, but it's going right back to rain. Have you
Wednesday,
liked
Thursday.
Our shift into becoming Seattle or no?
You know, I appreciate the rain because I understand how badly it's needed.
Right.
I worry about the driving in the rain, not necessarily mine, but other people's. Like people in LA drive, like they're crazy when they drive in the rain.
Yeah, it's a mixture of confidence and ineptitude that turns into the worst fucking thing.
And arrogance, I think. Like, I can just speed by you and I don't care if there's a pothole or I spray you or whatever.
Right. Or my tires have no tread on them anymore.
And I'll just hydroplane across the lane real
like,
quick.
Okay, well, you did that.
It's like LA's general personality flaw made much worse.
Right.
Exactly. Well, Laura, we're going to get to know you even better. But first, we're going to tell everybody the stories. We're going to talk about, first, just the all woke everything lens that the GOP looks at things through. It's like, I get before it's the point, the culture wars and the cruelty is the point of how they feel that they're in power. But like, it's to the point where like, they're ignoring polling too. And you're like, who is this for? Are you guys stuck in this like feedback loop that you can't get out of? So we'll talk a little bit about that and how they've even pivoted to being even more heinous, especially around the shooting in Tennessee. Then we're going to talk about how, folks, I know you've been waiting for it. You always wanted to know what woolly mammoth meat tasted like. If you like me. Well, guess what? These two blokes in Australia at some company called Vow have brought woolly mammoth meatballs to the stage. And we'll talk a little bit about how they did that, why they're doing it, for good reason, because obviously climate change. And then we're going to catch up with Stormy Daniels, who, I mean, obviously she's back in the news with all the hush money payment stuff. But I didn't realize in between, like I knew she was doing stand-up, but she has a lot of other ventures going on. So we will touch on those, including ghost busting. Shout out to the Ghostbusters, all of them out there. But first, Laura Cathcart-Robbins, we got to ask you, our guest, what is something from your search history that's revealing a little something about who you are, what you're thinking about?
I think the thing that's probably most revealing about my search history is that it's all one thing right now. It's Stash, My Life in Hiding on Amazon, daily, minute by minute refresh to see what my standings are.
I feel like I've not written a book, but I know a couple of people that have. And I feel like that is the only thing you can do when you put out a book, because you're like, please, like, where are we at? Please tell me, where are we at?
Did this move the needle? Did that move the needle? Yeah, like I tell myself I'm not going to do it. It's very much like my addiction, which I wrote about. I'm not going to do it. And then I looked back at my history and I'm like, all day. That's all I did. Was look for my book.
But it's good. You're like a day trader, but for your own words.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, thank you.
Nice. Yeah. You're not like undercutting the little guy. You're like, go me.
Yes.
please. I think that, you know, I've only read like some of the reviews and sort of the top line stuff about it. But I think it's, you know, the talks about just sort of your journey with addiction and sobriety. And just like the intersection of privilege and race and all of these things. When I just was like reading a little bit about it, I was like, this sounds really fascinating. I mean, can you tell us a little bit about kind of, you know, where you started and where you're at?
Yeah. I mean, thank you for that. The Stash My Life in Hiding covers a 10-month period in the year 2008. And I think the thing that it's an addiction memoir, but it's also about divorce. It's also about motherhood. It's also about falling in love, which comes a little bit toward the end. And I think the thing that makes it unique is the thing you just touched on, is that it comes from that intersection of race, because it's a story written by me, a Black woman, about an addiction that doesn't involve drug dens and prostitution and, you know, childhood sexual trauma. And it comes from this place of privilege. And it's also, you know, it's an addiction story, race, and what's the other one? Addiction, race, and privilege. Yeah, so those three things. And what I found was there are lots of stories that are addiction memoirs. There are lots of, mostly written by white women. The ones that are written by Black women usually involve those three things I listed. And like, I'm not saying that my story is any better than anybody else's. By far, those stories are thrilling, and I loved reading them, but I didn't identify with them. Mm-hmm. So I think, I know there were no comparisons for my book when I wrote it. There's nothing out there like it.
Yeah.
So that's what makes it unique.
Yeah. I mean, it was striking just from like the sort of synopsis of you know, that you were elaborately scheduling withdrawals between PTA meetings and things like that, or hiding pills in your red bottoms.
Yeah.
I was just like, this is fascinating. And yeah, to your point, I feel like I guess like the stories we hear a lot are not necessarily looking at it from your perspective, not to say that's a bad thing, but yeah, to your point that you felt that your story had a place to be heard. And I think it's fantastic.
Yeah. Thank you.
It's so nice that, yeah, there's like diversity in every type of story. And we're like starting to finally get to hear things like that. That's so great.
Thank you.
Was there ever a thing like with publishers who were kind of like, do you have something that's more in line with like stereotypes about Black women that we know about? Like, cause I know like with entertainment, like to your point, Andrew, you know what I mean? Like you try and represent your culture in a diverse way. And then some people who are gatekeeping who don't understand that, like, can we just regress to the old thing?
Right.
But was it easy or what was that sort of path like?
You know, to my advantage, I pitched this during the summer of 2020, and we were having a moment in publishing. It was like the first time in my memory that all Black authors were in the top 10 of the best-selling list, because everybody was trying to educate themselves about being an anti-racist, et cetera, and learn as much as they could about Black culture. So publishers were hungry for stories by Black people, period.
Mm.
I think they did get excited about mine because it was unique. And they felt like they might be able to pull in a different audience than they had with other previous Black addiction memoirs.
Right, right. That's fantastic. Let's move on to our next question. What is something you think is overrated?
College degrees.
Okay, go on.
I didn't graduate from high school. I didn't go to college. And I'm not bragging about that. But, you know, I wrote about this in my book. I lied about it all the time in order to get jobs. I said I was George Santos, basically, like I said.
Fake it till you make it.
I padded my resume because I wouldn't have gotten the job without it. But I was, without that on paper qualification, I was still qualified to do the job. I had the experience. I understood how to do it. I'm a quick learner. Like, I educated myself about the position before I got it and then went all in. And I did really well. So I don't think I needed that piece of paper in order to do the job. But there's this consensus that we do need that. And a lot of people in my family that are successful don't have college degrees. And I'm not discouraging anyone from getting it, but I do think they're overrated.
Yeah, well, I think there's just like this disconnect too, where there's this emphasis about having it, yet it's so hard to attain, or in a way that doesn't potentially fuck you up for decades to come.
Yeah. Yeah.
I get that. It's like that so many people now, like I was just talking to somebody, I was watching like the Final Four tournament, and I was like, I almost went to the University of Miami because like I got in my mind, I was like, yo, I'm a fucking party in Miami for college. Then I saw what it costs, and I was like, oh, I'm going to keep my ass in the fucking state, because I absolutely couldn't, especially when I saw my other friends taking on loans and like what the payback sort of structure looked like, I was frightened to the point where I was almost like, I know I want to get into comedy and shit, but
like
my grandparents and my parents' voice rang in my head. They're like, look, if you could go for it, and if you fuck up, at least you could teach history because you have that degree. And I'm like, that was, and I would do that if things shook out a different way. So I kind of, I see that.
Yeah, it's so, because it's like, nominally, it's supposed to be like proof that you did something or you accomplished something, you're at a level. But like, because of the way the world works, there's so much variance in what that fucking piece of paper means. Like, I feel like I did unfortunately go to like a nice college, and like truly the only thing I learned from that college that I find was valuable was that rich kids are not only not better than you, they are actively worse than you. They are the dumbest people on earth. And we all have the same piece of paper at the end of the day.
Right.
You know?
Right. I was like, oh, that's hilarious.
I just like to, like, I always think about when, you know, you have a resume or whatever and they ask for like your education. You're like, how many times has anyone ever actually bothered to check up on that? Unless like you came in and they, like, you were so flagrant with it. They're like, there's no way this person has like a master's from whatever college.
But right.
Other than that, like, to your point, I'm like, yeah, just fake it till you make it. You know,
I don't even know where my diploma is.
Oh, I didn't even get one.
Yeah.
I didn't even walk.
Yeah.
You didn't get a diploma?
No, I was so over, man. I was so over academia, because part of me was like, what the, like, I was already becoming like this cynical person about like what a degree meant. And I'm like, but, and then I had like survivor's guilt. I'm like, how come I can get a degree, but these other kids can't get a degree? And then they got to do this. And then they go up in the job, like, and then we're all going up in the same job interview where you like, you need 17 years of experience for this job. And you're like, I'm 17 though.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like,
yes.
So anyway, all that to say is when it's UCLA, so it was hot in LA in the summer, like beginning, and it was all going to be outdoors. And I asked my parents too. I was like, you want to wait out there like to be called amongst hundreds of names? And they're like, if you don't care, we don't care. And I'm like, I don't care. Now, and if you want it, we can buy the diploma, but that's more money. And I would rather just stop giving this UC system my money.
Yes.
So I can walk. Yeah, that way I could walk head first in 2007 into a recession with my degree and go, hey, I got this degree to enter the middle. Well, what the fuck is happening?
Which is awesome.
Yeah, it's very. I talk about this a lot with other millennials about how, like, especially like there's so many people who get so down, like, because everything is so difficult to attain right now for younger people, and we're fed this thing of like, well, you should be doing this by now, without understanding like how uniquely of a shitty situation we came of age in, where it was almost like, oh yeah, like I was standing on the rug as it was getting yanked out. What's something you think is underrated, Laura?
Well, this kind of relates to the woolly mammoth meatballs.
Okay.
So I'm glad.
Okay.
But plant-based diet.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's underrated. I'm a plant-based person, and I think people throw me a lot of shade because of it. Like, I'm sober, right? I've been sober for almost 15 years, so I don't drink or imbibe in anything. And socially, that's one kind of thing, right? So you're not going to offer me the same kind of drink. I'm not going to share that bottle of wine with you. But then to be a plant-based eater too, it's like, we don't even want to have dinner with you, basically. you're not even going to like eat the good food, and you're not going to drink. Like, it's just, we'll meet later for coffee or something.
It's funny. I had a thing. So my friend, one of my best friends, her husband is a straight edge dude from like OG straight edge guy from youth, but then just turned into just being sober, basically, into adulthood, and also vegan. And I remember when they first started dating, we were in our early 20s. I'm like, yo, he's straight edge vegan. How the fuck are we going to get down with him? Like, we're drunk as fuck eating meat. And then you begin to realize like how one dimensional, like, you think that, like, what that shit is. Because over time, we're like, I'm like always like he put me onto so many vegan things and like opened my mind just from like hanging out. So I definitely underrated all of that, because as I become more like in tune with my own health, and like the earth, I'm like, you don't have to fucking go ride or die for eating cows like I thought I did when I was much younger. But
but that's like such a, like, also like as your personality grows past, like, what are you doing? Tacos and beer, like, just like every night, you know, or whatever. Like, it's just like, you know, we can also grow from that.
Yeah.
You know, no matter where you start. Yeah.
No, it's to the point now where, like, if I grill hamburgers, I only eat like Impossible.
Yeah, like, that's impossible.
I don't do like beef burgers anymore. That's just, they, I don't know, like, because I had it at Umami when they were doing Impossible, and the way they were doing it, I was like, this shit is no different than McDonald's, quote unquote, beef in my mouth.
Right.
So the fuck I need to do this for anymore. So I'm all on that. Although, look, I'm gonna add cheese. Okay.
Yeah. Not guilty pleasure, obviously, but like the fucking Impossible Whopper is so good.
Is that good?
Well, part of it is that you realize that the taste of the Whopper is just mayonnaise and raw onion. And everything else is sort of irrelevant. Right. It's not a vegan burger, but it is like there is no need for beef to be in there.
Mm-hmm. Like, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Love that. Okay, let's take a quick break and we will be right back. You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
And we are back. The grand old party. Just want to check in with them a little bit, because when they took control of the house, you know, they vowed to go scorched earth on our asses. You know, that there would be so many investigations, our heads would spin, and the revelations would destroy the Biden administration for decades or whatever, like they, you know, like they did with the Benghazi stuff. So we're a few months into the new Congress, and the multiple hearings have rendered not much at the moment. Now, there's, look, I'm not all that to say there is definitely still time for them to figure out if there really is a massive conspiracy to silence conservatives online, or just how huge Hunter Biden's ball sack is. But as it stands, even the things they are claiming are revelatory just aren't catching on. And naturally, the polling shows that, like, while the Republicans that are polled don't quite move the needle in terms of, like, hey, do you think this is a waste of fucking time or an overreach, or like they could be doing something better? Democrats and independents especially are like, being like, what the fuck is this? Like, there's, it's not even a, like, inflation is so bad, but this is the thing that they're devoting the time to. And it's all just kind of part of this current iteration of the party that we've seen that's come lost complete sense on how to even govern or even create legislation that isn't part of, like, their batshit, you know, anti-woke culture war. So they had a really good opportunity with the Silicon Valley Bank collapse, you know, because you saw some of the conservatives on Capitol Hill begin to question like the idea of bailouts and who actually pays for the transgressions of the investor or banking class. Who is the one who is really footing that bill? And is it right? But they maybe asked two questions and then went fucking all in on the there were too many women and people of color on the board. So their wokeness caused high interest rates and a bank run, which is kind of where you're left. And this tendency has become so reflexive that it feels like the party is guided obviously more by what's getting clicks and views on Fox News versus like what their own polling tells them. Because even when you poll Republicans, their biggest concern is the economy. Morals and values polled at 1%. But again, this is part and parcel of what we're seeing at the moment.
The other way to look at this, though, is like, especially on economic stuff, and I guess this is shade at Biden, like, they're not that different.
No, like, no, from not the Republicans. At all.
So they're just hitting their point of difference, which is, I guess, a marketing strategy that is justifiable.
This is the thing, like, at least Democrats will put a kente cloth and kneel on Capitol Hill because they look at expanding a voter base. The Republicans are like, I don't know, man. How many more can we shed by just like turning the pot up higher? But again, it all probably speaks to like their singular march towards upending like the democratic process, where it's not going to matter if they have the numbers. They just want the more angry people.
Yeah. They just have been built on, you know, a fervor of apartheid rule, and they just need their apartheid minority to be passionate.
And even though, like, did you see the Waco the rally? Like, he was,
yes,
they were losing energy out there. I was like, shit, bro, Donald, like, you gotta come on, baby. They're like,
he's,
the
except
red
for that one black guy behind him.
Oh yeah, there's always like those two guys. Yes. The one with the relaxed ponytail.
Yeah.
That's my man right there. I always see him. I'm like, wow. Like, is it like following the Grateful Dead, or is he like on a retainer as like a set decoration? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Does that fall into the prop masters guild? Anyway,
I mean, I guess this is maybe just me reading my part of Twitter too much, but wasn't it like shown that those people are like, hey,
wasn't it like involved in a murder?
Oh, really?
No, there was one guy for Blacks for Trump, I remember, who they're like, yo, he's got this, he's connected to some weird stuff going on.
Oh.
And people were like, do they even vet these people? Because again, they're just looking for literal physical like black bots
on the thing. Yeah.
How could they vet someone? They're not turning black people away at the Trump rally.
No. I mean, they might be looking for wherever they can find them on the internet. And so this pattern, right, has extended into the shooting in Tennessee now, where the GOP is using this like woke, like, what is woke? Woke is bad. That's why a bank crashed, not because of the lack of regulation and the greed of like the people who are running it, to begin to fuel a discussion on how the far left needs to understand that being a transgender person is a mental issue. Mm-hmm. And yet, despite their cries of like mental health crisis, which is their go-to to not enact any gun control, you always notice they aren't now saying that trans people need more mental health support. No, is that so? Again, okay. So it's just to say, I just want to avoid the conversation about gun control. And this is the thing, like, to underline the point about the Democrats and the Republicans, I'm not getting much from the Democrats either outside of, we need gun reform. We know we need gun reform. Like, we understand that. But where is the actual like aggressive energy to address it? Otherwise, you're just revealing how much you're in the tank for like the gun lobby or your unwillingness to really to grapple with it. And like, I saw a lot of coverage that was like victim-centered coverage about who these six people who lost their lives were. And it's tragic, these three children and these three adults. And I don't have an issue with that. But if you're not following this kind of coverage of pulling at our heartstrings about the loss of life, by forcefully calling for real gun control and actually saying like, we need to stop saying the same empty, you know, sayings we've been saying, then really it's an utter failure that like, you know, it's hardly a fitting tribute to those people. And I was just, as I was watching this, it was really hard to see like how like some of these anchors and TV pundits would like breathlessly like be like, yeah, you know, there is talk though too that we could have more perimeter security that's needed at our schools, or that we, you know, this school didn't have a police officer there because it was like in a church setting, blah, 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 that we're not, it's not a substantive debate about like our sick obsession with guns and like, you know, that, and also our,
or the reflex of people to just hide behind the Constitution to just not actually have a conversation about human life.
Yeah. It's like our Constitution was written by a bunch of racists who'd never seen a bullet before. So come on.
They had to melt their pewter down into musket balls. Okay.
They did.
I won't have you slacking them off. They had to give up their fine pewter trays.
Listen, if you're like a school shooter had to like set up a little like kiln and melt their little musket balls to get ready to do their shit, that seems like a compromise.
Yeah. I don't know. I just see countless like heartbroken parents over and over, like step up to like a, you know, an assortment of microphones and say the same thing. It's just, you get in this like really fucked up like rage loop where you're like, I know. And then they're going to come on and say that, like, you know, there's a senator in Tennessee or a congressman in Tennessee who quite literally said, well, there's nothing we can really do about it.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I'm sorry. What? He said, I don't see any real role that we could do other than mess things up. And then his like first thing was like, yeah, we're not going to fix it. We're not going to be able to. Yeah. And then on the other side, it's just this hand wringing without any real, like, are we really ready to upend the status quo? The answer consistently seems to be no.
Yeah.
I have a conservative friend who's a gun enthusiast, and I follow him and a few of his friends on Instagram, and the consensus between them seems to be that, one, we've gone too far to ever go back. So how do we deal with what we have while we keep our guns? Mm-hmm. And their answer seems to be to arm everybody.
Right.
Like if everybody had a gun, then we would be a much safer nation.
Yeah.
And they really think it's two separate issues. Like they think that the mental illness that gets people killed has nothing to do with the access to guns. And to me, it's so frustrating.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I follow them because I want to know what's being said, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I follow plenty of conservatives and see the exact same thing. I mean, let me just play the comments here of Congressman Burkett, who's from Tennessee, because his basic talking point is the same thing as in line with. He's like, I mean, what are you going to do, man?
Do you think there's any role for Congress to play in reaction to this tragedy? Obviously, this is your state now, but it's happened in every other state.
Oh, it's happening. It doesn't matter what state it's happened in. It's we're all Americans. It doesn't matter the color of their skin. And they all bleed red. They're bleeding a lot. I don't see any real role that we could do other than mess things up, honestly, because of the situation. It's like I said, I don't think a criminal is going to stop from guns. You know, you can print them out on the computer now, 3D printing. And there's really, I don't think you're going to stop the gun violence. I think you got to change people's hearts. You know, as a Christian, as we talk about in the church.
Okay. There you go. Enough of that. Didn't need that pivot to Christ there. Uh-huh. Unless Christ is going to turn the guns into medical care. I don't know what we're going to do with that. But yeah, you heard. Like, it's like this. I don't know, the cat's out of the bag kind of thing. And it's what's interesting, too, is, you know, he talks about he has a little girl, too. And the reporter said, well, then what else can be done to protect children like your little girl? He said, oh, well, we homeschool her.
Oh, yeah, really? Such
a disgusting extra wrinkle on this. It's like trying to also destroy public schools. Great.
Yeah.
You fucking
like every layer there. He's like, because, you know, we're not about to teach her things like Rosa Parks was a black woman because we don't think that's important. We just know that someone told her to get out of her seat on the bus and she said no. And she's a hero for that, which is why you should be an asshole to other people if they ask you to give up your seat on a bus, which that's the moral of it, right?
And why did he bring up race when she said, like, this is happening in your state? And he said, well, we're all Americans. It doesn't matter what color you are. Like, why did he say that?
I think because they're all so racist that it's just a reflection. They have to be like,
it's a reflex, right?
Yeah. It's just been like, well, I know it's going to come off as I only care about maybe white people. Look, we're all American. We all bleed red, black, brown, purple, you know, magenta.
Right.
We all bleed red. So
it's also like these like conservatives all never put their fucking money where their mouth is. Like, oh, it's the safest society is if everyone has a gun, like, go to any failed state then and live. You want libertarianism? There's no rules in like many of the countries America's destroyed. Go set up shop there.
Yeah.
You, like, homeschool your kid
there. Yeah. If it's that tough. And that's what's so funny.
Freedom's so important.
Well, they all, and this is everybody that's a politician, they speak like they live in the world that other, like the normal people do. Yet this guy is someone who is a member of Congress who has, I'm assuming enough wealth to have like, you know, like a stay-at-home family and homeschool their child and afford themselves all these little advantages, but then not understand what it means to not have those and then just talk shit about them. Yeah. I'd be like, hey, this is a great place. I mean, I'm not actually subjected to the dangers of the world I'm commenting and won't do anything about, but I believe it's okay.
Right.
And I think that's what's, yeah, it's very, very frustrating. let's take a quick pivot, as we do on this show, to woolly mammoths. just let's take a quick breath here. So if you were a fan of the Flintstones, like I was, and you wanted to eat a whole side of dinosaur or rib, now you can have meatballs that are made of woolly mammoth meat. Kind of. Okay. So this Australian company, Vow, has made mammoth meat entirely grown from cells. So it didn't obviously require traveling back in time and slaughtering a prehistoric creature like I hoped it did.
Yeah.
But that would have fucked up the space-time continuum. So could you imagine that as a film, though?
Funny.
I mean, like, listen, they fucked up with the movie 65. 65 should have been like a catch and cook, like from YouTube.
Wait, what's 65?
65 is the flop recently, flopped-ish movie that was like Adam Driver crash lands his spaceship and there's like scary monsters out there and they're dinosaurs.
Oh, really?
I remember that. The movie did not do well. I love the trailer. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm guessing there isn't a scene where after he kills a dinosaur, he kind of looks around and is like, I'm going to try a bite.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, good thing our... Wait, is this guy a time... He's a time traveler, though?
I think it's not supposed to be. I don't know what the twist is. Okay.
For the purposes of this bit, I hope he's a time traveler, but he's also like, he brings seasonings with him. Because in the back of his mind, he's like, you never know. There might be some shit you could eat that you won't be able to.
That's true. If you land on an alien planet, you just got to try a little. Just a taste.
Would you?
You have to.
You think so? I think I would eat a dinosaur.
Yeah,
like I don't have a. I'm like, I get that. Like, if I'm, you know, if I'm already traveling in time, I'm probably fucked anyway. So I'm like, fuck it, let's have a bite of this like raptor foot. But like an alien, that's where in my mind I go, that feels like a bridge too far because I don't know if our biology is. It could be poison to me, but that's, I don't know why. True. I think eating a raptor. But again, this is me being so stupid that I'm like, but a raptor? See, that's okay. That's good eating.
I'm just saying, like, every time in one of those alien movies, it's like, oh, I was assaulted and like became, you know, not as, you know, whatever, just like attacked by the thing and then, you know, turned into an alien. And I think given how we've seen how real people react to various pandemics and diseases, if aliens invaded or like we were on a spaceship that found like, you know, alien eggs, there's no like caution. Someone would just straight up eat it.
I know. They're like, wait, what's all over your mouth? And why are one of the eggs missing?
Huh?
Oh, it burns a little bit.
Oh, my God. Better than it looks, though.
So it turns out they, much to our dismay, are not time travelers. So boo all that. But really, they're really trying to show the potential of what like meat grown from cells, like what you can do exactly without obviously the slaughterhouses and like the large scale agricultural like livestock operations that are causing a lot of environmental problems. So they've also been doing this thing. They've been like investing in making cultivated meat out of other species, including crocodiles, peacocks, and kangaroos. But the first one that'll apparently be sold to like the public is going to be Japanese quail, which will be available like later this year, like in Asia somewhere. But apparently, like, so again, this is about their publicity stunt to basically say, like, we had enough DNA sequence that we could kind of extrapolate something that we could say was woolly mammoth meat. So what they did was they, quote, used the DNA sequence for mammoth myoglobin, and they filled in the gaps with elephant DNA and then placed it in a myoblast stem cell from sheep. I don't know what any of those words mean. But their quote, what they said, it was, quote, all ridiculously easy and fast.
That doesn't sound like something I want to eat.
I got in a little trouble with some of my friends, like in probably 2018, 2019, when everyone was doing 23andMe. And I was like, because I majored in biology in college. And I, you know, when you do those labs, I was like, you know, you can sequence your own DNA. And everyone was clowning on me, like, fuck you, what are you talking about? And here's the thing. It is, like, complicated, but, like, every time you've done one of those COVID tests in the, you know, prior in the last 3 years, that's essentially what you need to do to sequence DNA.
Just
like, we can all do it. Yeah, it's like a swab, and you put it in an enzyme, and then you, like, there's different
Then you have
weights.
To put in a PCR tube, a polymerase chain reaction tube, obviously, you put that into a centrifuge. Yes, we've all done this.
But that's the thing. We have. A lot of kids, like, have.
I know. That's, I remember, I'm like, yeah, PCR, a polymerase chain reaction tube. It's so funny. Those little vials I stole because I thought it'd be cool to put, like, drugs in them. Because they're the little pop tops, and, like, you could put, like, a couple things in there.
It would, yeah, that's actually good.
That's where my stupid ass mind was in high school, aside from stealing the digital scales for my own weighing.
That's what I'm saying. Good enough. But now all that, all those digital scales are like $20 on.
I know.
It's just like all that shit. You can, I promise you, you could do it. Anyway, so
wait,
that's,
but, okay, hold on. But I'm interested. How, but how is it going to, how do I spit on a thing and then it tells me I'm Portuguese suddenly?
I mean, it's just a matter of looking up the right, you're trying to find the genes that tell you that shit, or I guess in their, in 23andMe's case, they just, you know, find as many genes as they look for, right, and then they match it with the number of people who have this that are Portuguese, so, or whatever.
Could I do a 23 and Andrew T, where you'll see, I trust you to sequence my DNA. I don't trust them.
I'm just saying, we all could do it. If you could, like, put drops of liquid into a little tube, shake it up, and then pour, pipette that onto, like, a little piece of paper,
right,
you could do it. Like, I'm just saying,
yeah,
the physical skills to do it,
right,
every one of us has done anytime you've
but
done
we
it.
Don't have a micro pipette and things like that, so maybe that's
that shit is cheaper
you know
than
you
think
terms.
A micro pipette, it, see, I'm learning Tanita digital scales are like $3 now, and a micro pipette is like a,
you could go on eBay and get some old ass centrifuges for way less than you should be able to,
or just tie it on a string and just fucking just whip it around your head.
Sorry, that was my big derail, but when they say it's easier than you think, I bet it genuinely is easier than you think.
I guess I like that, or maybe I thought it was maybe like a bit of Aussie humor where they're like, oh yeah, it might make a bit of mammoth, mate. It's just all ridiculously easy and fast.
So does it have cholesterol?
Like, okay, asshole.
The meat? Does the meat have cholesterol?
I'd imagine. I mean,
probably.
Maybe?
It probably does,
know.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, on some level. But
so it's slaughter free, but it still is meat. The way that
it's grown from a cell, but it doesn't require raising any live animals or like,
and doesn't have parents.
Like, no.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, we just got this DNA right here, and then we put it with a myoblast stem cell with the
The stem cell came from a living sheep, but that sheep wasn't killed. Probably. Right. Maybe.
Ask a GOP politician, in which case they'll be like, we will not use sheep stem cells to make our meats here.
Yeah. Like, maybe, probably in reality, the sheep was killed, but yeah, you could do it like a take the bone marrow out of a thing. People do it all the time. Not all the time, But you,
Have you done a 23andMe?
Yeah.
No, I would. I could do that shit myself. I'm too cheap to do 23andMe. I would do it myself.
Okay, you know what, asshole? You're gonna now you have to do it. You're gonna be like, I don't have to. I could do it myself. And don't put your money where your mouth is. Now let the rubber hit the road.
I'm gonna look into it. I did at drunk at a bar get as far as being like, all right, the centrifuge is only like $280 from like UC Irvine. I just have to drive out and get it.
Hey, wait, Lauren, did you say you had?
I've done 23andMe, but my boyfriend has done it 3 times and they refunded his money because they could not assess his sample.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa.
They finally sent him replacement kits twice. And then the third time they sent him back his money. And we said, they're basically like, we can't help you.
Damn.
Isn't that weird?
This makes your boyfriend one of the most interesting fucking people I've ever heard about now.
Yeah.
I like at a DNA lab, it was like,
We throw up our hands.
Yeah, they're like, what the fuck is this?
This
have
sounds
you
like
done
the,
it?
A great beginning to like a Blumhouse movie.
Yeah, right. I haven't. It's funny because I just found, like, I got an old ass kit like 5 years ago, like in a gift bag for some like industry party I went to. But at the time, I was like, I ain't fucking giving them my DNA, so they sell it to Pfizer or whatever the fuck. But I don't know. I think part of me is kind of interested. The one I'm more interested in is the African ancestry one, because I would love more specifically to know like where in Africa, like, you know, all of my like ancestors were coming from. But that I need a female relative, because that's the gene that it's stored in. It couldn't be me. So I'm talking to my cousin in Chicago about figuring out how to do that. But that it does interest me, because it is very interesting when you like, especially for people who like, it opens up family secrets, not bad in a bad way, but sometimes you hear people and be like, oh yeah, like your great great grandfather was like white. And they're like, what? I thought we were all like, you know.
I probably can't say any details, but yeah, I had a friend who discovered some pretty insane shit about his family.
Oh yeah.
Like, yeah.
I know plenty of stories, like even people, I think Andrew, you and I know, where next thing you know, it's like knock knock, and it's like, huh? And they're like,
yeah, you don't want that.
Found you? And then it's like, oh shit. But yeah, look, I get it. It's
complicated.
Oh, especially for like, you know, men from past eras, they're like, I didn't think it was going to be like I would digitally get caught out there with all my secret families. But I've heard more than a few secret family exposed type things.
I'm realizing now, because I never met my grandpa, but he just during World War II pretended to have died, started a secret family, and then just showed back up in my grandma's life. And we're all just like,
wow,
man. It's really, you're really lucky 23andMe isn't around, you fucking old asshole.
Brian, our editor Brian, just came in the chat and said, you can buy a centrifuge / PCR machine for $800.
There you go.
Boom.
There you
23andT. I can, whatever 23andMe is charging, I'm like eight bucks less.
Go to all the comedians and writers that like we know and just being like, yo, you know, I'll sequence your I bet you could get that thing paid for within like six people.
Listen. Yeah. Oh, and this is like a nice one. I'm talking about like used equipment from UCLA. I think you could get it cheaper. I think we could do
that. That sounds like you're trying to encourage me to go to UCLA biolab and start stealing a fucking PCR machine.
But I'm just saying, you've stolen other shit from there. So where's the crime at a certain point?
Yeah. I'd be taking from them, because for years they'd be taking from me. That's as Tupac said. all right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back to talk about the new Stormy Daniels. You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
And And we're back. And what a story we just heard from Andrew. Folks, you got to be there. You got to be there. It involved the Bidens. I'm just going to say that. I didn't realize that you were so close with them. But speaking of politics, or I guess ancillary or tertiary, secondary characters around the world of politics, Stormy Daniels. But I guess no, primary figure right now because of the, you know, the payout story, which I don't know, may lead to the first ever criminal indictment of a former U.S. president. And I really stress may.
Yeah.
Right.
So unsatisfying, even if.
I felt like part of me is almost like, I feel like that tweet from Donald Trump was like helping out like the Department of Justice too. Cause like everyone's like, are you going to do something? He's like, I might get arrested. And then everybody's like, yay! And I'm like, bro, he just said that. He's afraid he is. Okay. And I think it only probably could be because he's had to like testify so many times or the threat of it. But anyway, it's look, we wait with bated breath, but there will be no, I guess, celebrating until it's like, you're like, is it for real? Is okay. Let me see a non-AI version of his like hairstyle being blown away by the wind. Cause that will be something. But anyway, let's talk about Stormy Daniels. Because while I was gone, Jack was saying like, he felt like the news cycle just feels like a TV show that's like retreading like tired material because they run out of ideas. It's like Stormy Daniels is back. Like what? Oh. I thought that character got written off like 3 years ago. But again, if this were a TV show, the character has come back and has become a late season Riverdale levels of strange, as our writer J.M. McNabb puts. I don't know much about Riverdale, except I think the teachers, the only episode I saw, one of the teachers was having sex with a student, but the parents' reaction was just for them to get out of town.
It's like, a weird show. I haven't watched all of it, but it's a weird show.
Now everyone in the chat, Becca's like, it's gotten wild. There's magic involved now. I'm like, magic?
I've heard that. Yeah.
I mean, in the comics, Archie fights the Punisher once or twice.
No.
Shit is crazy.
Does he really fight the Punisher?
Apparently, I haven't read it, but apparently the Archie versus the Punisher is like sort of a tour de force in that no one really breaks character.
Oh, whoa. What? Yeah, there's quite literally Archie meets the Punisher.
No.
Yeah.
And everyone just is who they are. Like
I like how Archie's saying, I knew there'd be a chaperone, but this is ridiculous.
Anyway, that's the crossover I want to see.
Yeah, it's the crossover we want to see. It's the crossover that we all deserve. But so since like the Trump stuff has come out, we've seen her do stand up like in 2019. I remember we touched on that. How she was like doing a whole tour and like selling out rooms like with her, you know, look, beginner material. But look, it's about getting on mic and figured, you know, finding yourself up there, which she did and was selling out. Say, so good on you. But then has like a merchandising business, including a sci-fi comic book series in which she battles a Trump-like villain.
Yeah.
This is not a joke. It's called Stormy Daniels Space Force. And if you look at this like version of Trump, like it's him, but like with like the worst like punk rock metal hair I've ever seen. Yes.
I think it would look good on him. He did that for real.
He doesn't have the follicular fortitude to even pull that kind of design off.
Yeah, he'd have to get like some like Marvel level like foam pasted on his head. But I think it looks good.
Oh, could you imagine he really does that and people are like, it's giving Thanos, but yeah, I love it. I love that for him. But yeah, again, this is like part of a full force sort of like, let me try and get these bags like right as much as possible. And then she also appeared on the reboot of The Surreal Life. If you remember that old VH1 hit, which I remember seeing like the promos for it, but very quickly it bummed me out because it was like, check out Stormy Daniels alongside Frankie Muniz, who's had so many concussions he doesn't remember most of his life, and Dennis Rodman and like Tamar Braxton. And I was like, it's so weird how I've lost the appetite for The Surreal Life too. Yeah. Like, when it came out, I was like, let me see these people. Like, what's going on with them? And I think now is like, you begin to understand more and more celebrities are just normal people that are usually like sad.
I mean, you're Twitter and TikTok really ate that material.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing new for these people to be weird about anymore.
Right.
Just weird in public. You know? Like, yeah, right. I know. I saw it on Instagram.
So the other thing is that we found out is that she's like, I use this term lightly, a ghostbuster. Because during the, so, you know, Michael Avenatti, her, like, her pit bull lawyer, the fighter who was going to go up against Trump, but then his ass ended up in jail for stealing money from her. During that trial against him, again, because he was found guilty of stealing $300,000 from her book advance, we learned that she was also pitching a paranormal TV show called Spooky Babes, in which she travels the country investigating ghostly occurrences. And it was all inspired by her own, quote, personal experiences that she had at her home in New Orleans, which she said was haunted as fuck. And that's why she should be out there. The really interesting part is she has a sidekick on the show in the form of a literal haunted doll that she brings around called Susan, who is supposedly possessed by the soul of a girl who died in the 1960s and even brought this creepy doll to the Surreal Life set, I think maybe to try and do some like cross promo or something. But this like whole thing has become like also a big part of the Avenatti trial. The reason it came up is that he was like questioning her about the ghosts like extensively to try and paint her as like an unreliable like narrator, or that she's like struggling, like she has delusions of like ghost stuff. And this dude apparently was like hammering the ghost stuff so much, but everyone was like, this is not it, sir. And then very quickly, gavel, guilty. Goodbye.
But she capitalized on that.
Yeah, she really did. I can't imagine the kind of like victory she's going to collect if this case ends up being the thing that takes Trump down. But yeah, I would fucking, I would try and monetize the fuck out of that.
She seems ready. I know she would have gotten sued into oblivion, but why would you call it Spooky Babes when you could call it Bustin Makes Me Feel Good? It's just so, so, it's just there.
It's right there. And also, are the spooky babes in this plural sense her and this doll?
And that's spooky in itself.
Yes. You know? That's just like, okay.
Man, it occurred to me. Oh, the doll's so weird.
It's not even that weird, unfortunately. It could have been weirder.
But I like anything. Like, I really do. I am curious if she, you know, because I have people in my family who swear up and down about ghosts. You know what I mean? Like, and there's not a thing you can say to them about it. Like, you know, they've seen what they've seen, they've experienced what they've experienced. But I also wonder if Stormy Daniels falls into that category, or she's just kind of like, she knows how to, you know, spin a yarn and tell a tale to get people interested. Cause I feel like, I mean, if that's true, like, I really want to know about your relationship with this doll. Like, what's going on with it?
Yeah. Please. It feels like she's just got a knack for the spectacle, clearly.
Yeah. Yeah, clearly, right? What about you, Laura? Where are you at with the ghost? Are you spook squad, or you're just like, I've seen everything but God, so ghosts aren't going to scare me?
I cannot watch scary movies if they're supernatural, because I creep around my house for months afterwards scared of everything.
Oh,
like, I can't even let that in. When I was little, my mom took me to see The Exorcist and the Amityville Horror. And I is just like, I believe, and I'm super scared of it. So I don't want anything to do with it.
Now, personally, you ever have any paranormal supernatural encounters?
I don't know that I have, but my mom has had a lot. She's had a lot. Like,
is it a personality thing?
Maybe. I think that maybe there's a level of awareness that some people have. And like my 4-year-old, when he's 25 now, but when he was 4, he saw me ironing and he said, Mommy, that's the way I used to make grilled cheese sandwiches when I was a man. And then he left the room and I came, I'm like, what? And he didn't really, he couldn't repeat it back to me. But I think if that was true, like if he had another life, a past life where he was, because my grandfather did that. My grandfather used ironing boards with wax paper to make grilled cheese sandwiches.
Oh, wild.
That's like just because they didn't have a hot plate, you know, so they could plug in the iron and cook like that. So there's, I'm thinking like maybe when you're little, when you're born, there's like a window to something else that we can't see as adults because we've been so hardened and jaded. And then maybe some people aren't as hardened and jaded their whole lives and they have ability to see other things.
It's so funny because when I was like maybe 8 or 9 years old and I was in Japan, like with my cousins, we were walking at night, like from the convenience store, like, you know, like these kids walk like by themselves all over the place. And we're walking like down this street, and my cousin and his friend swore a ghost walked by, but I saw a like piece of trash blow across the intersection where they saw it was a ghost. Yeah. And I thought, I didn't know if they were trying to fuck with me and be like, that was a ghost or whatever, but they genuinely were like, it was a ghost. I'm like, that was a bag?
Right.
And it was just weird how the two were very like insistent upon it. And then, you know, when we got home, like they were like telling my aunt, like, right, ghost, blah, ghost, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, that's a bag. What's going on with y'all? But
look, and that was your first step as a career gaslighter.
Yeah.
Right. To you, Miles.
The
you're the
what
problem.
Are you talking about? There ain't nothing there. Meanwhile, I'm so scared.
Right. Please don't let it be a ghost.
Anyway, well, enough ghost talk. Laura, thank you so much for joining us on the Daily Zeitgeist. It's been a pleasure. Where can people find you, follow you, and more importantly, get that book, help you climb the charts.
Thank you. Thank you guys for having me. This has been so much fun.
It's great having you.
The onlyonepod.com is the name of my website, and there you can find everything, the book, the bios, the Instagram, which is Laura at Laura Cathcart Robbins. No one knows how to spell Cathcart. It's C-A-T-H-C-A-R-T, Robbins with two B's and an S. I'm Miss Cathcart Robbins on TikTok. And I think I'm the same thing on Twitter. But the onlyonepod.com, if you go there, and you can buy the book anywhere that books are being sold. It's a Simon & Schuster book. You can buy it on their site. You can buy it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Your indie bookstore, please support indie bookstores. They are dying and they need your support. So if you have one in your neighborhood, go and even if it's not there, order it from there, but get it from there. And and then the podcast is the only one in the room, and love to have you guys take a listen to the podcast as well.
Yeah, please, please. And is there a tweet or other work of social media that you've been enjoying?
I have really been enjoying it's Leslie Jones, and this goes back to the woke conversation, calling out Florida's Governor Ron DeSantis for racism, saying that his erasure of Black history is nothing short of racism, and that she's angry about it and she's furious in the post. So I've been sending it around to different people because I just think that she articulates in this very, very outraged way so perfectly what we've been thinking and scared to. Like she talks about the NAACP issuing a travel warning to Black people about Florida. And like, this is a place that doesn't love us anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
Truly. I mean, especially, I mean, it's mind blowing how obtuse conservatives act. And like, I don't see how that changes anything.
Right.
If there's no context to something that has historical significance, you're like, what? Well,
as long as you ignore all of history and the, everything that's happened in America, then I guess this is crazy.
But it's wild, though, too, that like their biggest fear is truly that people are aware.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, that is the biggest, the most frightening thing, even when it goes along with like, what was like, there's a recently film that they pulled out of schools that were like,
oh, the Ruby Bridges.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Because a parent said they were afraid their white child would learn about the racism that Black kids were facing or still do. And you're like, excuse me, your fear is that they'll learn about the world?
Yeah.
Clearly that was disingenuous though, right? Like the thing I saw was like the parents like, this might teach my kid to be racist. And it's like, yeah, okay.
No.
No. Oh, well, I mean, I think that's either way. They're just mainlining the really stupid talking points. And I think because at the end of the day for them, they do feel that there is some kind of karmic debt, whether or not they feel responsible for it, that does exist. And it's more about acknowledging it or not. And I think that's where the disconnect happens.
Karmic debt. It's fucking economic debt.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, but I think how people look at it and sense you're like, what? Do it,
right?
I mean? It's like, it's not about that, motherfucker. You're not, it's not about, we're not looking for you right now. We're saying, actually observe what is happening and understand the system that exists and then work with us to dismantle it. But again, equity to somebody who's been in the oppressor's seat looks like,
it looks a lot different.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So take the context out. And Rosa Parks was just some lady on a bus who really was rude to a guy.
Right.
I guess. It's like honestly how it looks if you. Because I think in that telling of it, they say she was a part of a different group or something. So vague.
Oh, really?
Yeah, oh, it's really obscene.
Honestly, given Republicans, it's a little wild they don't pivot that into, and that's why there shouldn't be public transportation or public anything.
I know, right? It's like somehow that's a bridge too far.
Maybe not.
You know what? I'll say within a year, someone will make that pitch in seriousness.
Oh, yeah, as all private everything. I mean, it's always all private everything with, you know,
Private parties.
Hey.
I know, right? All the clowns, I guess. That is true.
Bring in all the clowns. Andrew T, how about you? Where can people find you, follow you, and what's a tweet that you like? Because I haven't looked on social media as much as I like, and I usually just look at your likes sometimes because you like good shit.
I had to scroll through my shit. I actually probably the best place now, especially again with the writer's strike coming up, my podcast, Yo, Is This Racist? We are doing as much premium stuff as we can. So we have had a thing going, suboptimalpods.com, and a show that is still ongoing that I'm really happy with is, have you guys had Matt Apodaca on the show before? I'm sure you have.
I don't think we have, but I know, I mean, he's always like, we're always 1 degree away from Matt Apodaca. Yeah.
Funny man, Matt Apodaca and I have been doing this thing where we watch a children's show, Chippendale's Park Life, which is for toddlers. There are no words in it. It is just like coos and giggles. And we've been doing watch-alongs of that called Dale Dudes. So, I'm very proud of this thing that is, again, adult men watching something that is for literally sub-verbal children.
Yeah, but I know, but with how intelligent you are and Matt, like the analysis is what I'm really interested
in. I'm very proud of it. It's so stupid. Anyway, stop off the pods. Actually, I did want to tag a thing Laura said. There's a new-ish bookstore in Pasadena called Octavia's Bookshelf.
Yes, yeah, I'm doing an event there.
Oh my God, I still haven't been. But yeah, that's a Black-owned, first Black-owned bookstore in Pasadena, which probably should not be the case.
Dude, I mean, Black people couldn't own in Pasadena up until like the 70s or some shit. Like
It was Pasadena. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's where all the publishers went to be like, oh, LA is a shithole. Let's take our millions over here.
Anyway, so yeah, just wanted to mention that. And then in the spirit of the wild pivots on this show, my tweet that I've liked is, honestly, I'm ashamed to say it, but I already have it pulled up. So it's from my friend Matt Toby. It was just one of those quote tweets in response to like, what's a little known fact about your profession that would make people, you know, da da da. And he wrote, people die at the dick sucking factory all the time. And that's a whole joke.
So stupid.
Such a stupid joke. Literally ashamed to have said it, but I don't have anything better.
I love it. That's also, I think I actually did see that in your likes yesterday or maybe today. Anyway, what else? You find me at Miles of Gray on Twitter and Instagram. You can find Jack and I on our basketball podcast, Miles and Jack Got Mad Boosties. And also, if you want to hear me talk about 90 Day Fiancé, check out. Excuse me, I got a little bit choked up. Check me out on 420 Day Fiance with Sophia Alexandra. What else am I supposed to do? Oh, yeah, I tell you where to look, guys. It's been a while since I just got back from parental leave. Yes, find us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter, at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We've got a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes in our footnotes.
Footnotes.
Thank you. Where you'll find all the articles we talked about, as well as the song we wrote out on. Today, we are going to go out on a track by a group called The Key, K-I-I. And they're like a band, I don't know, they're from Chicago, but they kind of are in this like jazz, gospel, neo soul kind of vibe, but also like hip hop. And this instrumental song is just really, really good. I really, really enjoy it. And it's called Global. By The Key, K-I-I. So check this out. It's definitely good listening music, and they're fantastic artists. So check that out. For more podcasts, check out the iHeartRadio app or Apple Podcasts to get even more shows. And that'll do it for us today. We'll be back later on to tell you what's trending. Later. Bye. Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring the Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.